You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
So today I'm going to start with a question. But we're going to do this. I'm going to ask the question three times and on three different levels. And I want to do a show of hands to answer the question. So three questions and a show of hands each time. Okay. So first question, first level. When you look at the world out there, when you look at world events, political systems, the climate crisis, wars, etc., put your hand up if you think the world is as it should be. Liam thinks it should be. Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay. Right. Question two. The next level. Moving from the world out there to the world near me. So considering your life, what you've experienced in your life, put your hand up if you think the world is as it should be. Okay, a couple more. Finally, moving one level closer, when you look inside you, when you look in your interior world, not just the world you live in or the world you engage with, but inside, put your hand up if you think the world is as it should be. A couple of people, okay, good. So there we go, three different levels, the global, the local, and the internal. And most of us, not all of us, but most of us think the world is not as it should be. So it seems clear, at least to us, most of us, that there's something not right. There's a brokenness in the world. And it's not what we hoped it would or should be. So now I want to ask, particularly the young people, why this might be so. And before I ask the young people, this is not an exam question to get right or wrong. I'm curious to know what you think. So it's not the right answer or the wrong answer. I'm just curious to know what you think. If we think that the world doesn't feel like it should be on the global level, the local level, or the internal level, why might that be so? Is anyone willing to hazard a guess? Jack. Good. And then we'll come to Caleb.
To an extent, after what happened in Genesis with the apple, has the world ever been as it should have been since then? Has it just got louder now?
It has. So since from the beginning of the story of the Bible, from Genesis, has it ever been as it should be? Okay. Remember, why might it be so? Caleb, what about you, mate?
Well, I was just thinking there's a lot of sin in the world, isn't there?
There's a lot of sin in the world. It's another Southern Hemisphere. There's a lot of wisdom right there, isn't there? So, you're Kiwi, though, aren't you? Oh, well, nearly there, mate. Anyone else? Any other young people that might want to hazard a guess?
Well,
I mean, you know my point of view. Okay. It's just a sort of light thing going on here.
Prophecy in the Bible. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good-o. Caleb again. Shout it out loud, mate. Oh, Okay, good. Well, a range of answers. Thank you very much. And the Bible also, you always take a risk when you have something that's in your head and you're going to get certain answers, and then it doesn't always work out that way. But that's just the nature of in the moment. But the Bible also does give a very clear answer to us. And as Caleb said, the answer in the Bible is sin. And I know the word sin in our modern culture and to our modern ears can feel sometimes outdated or even harsh and judgmental. But the word sin is simply the Bible's way of describing why the world is not as it should be. But let's unpack this. Why? What is sin and why does it matter? And the Bible describes sin in different ways, and I'm going to focus on some of them today. And this is my title, Restored, Finding Wholeness in a Broken World. So the first way, or one of the ways, that the Bible describes sin is by missing the mark. Like an arrow that falls short of its target, sin means failing to live as God had created us to be. And Romans 3 verse 23 says that we have, all of us, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so human beings are made in the image of God. The Bible tells us that very clearly. And a part of that being made in the image is to reflect or to image God into the world around us. But because of sin, our lives are broken. And we are unable to be the people God designed us to be. We miss the mark. Or as someone on our table this week at Practicing the Way said, we lose focus on what life is all about. So that's one way the Bible talks about it. Another way, excuse me, is breaking trust. Sin is about turning away from God's love and choosing our own way instead. We often see sin operating in our lives when we break trust. And we most importantly break trust with God, but also with other people. And when we become convinced that it's either all down to me to sort this out, this mess that I might find myself in, or we convince ourselves that we have found the way to live on our own without God, we break trust. So missing the mark, breaking the trust. Also, a third way is relational damage. It is often through the breaking of trust that sin impacts and damages our relationships. And on our table during the week this week at Practicing the Way again, someone said that, quoting their old vicar, that sin is a little word with I in the middle. And I quite like that. When we put ourselves in the center, it displaces God from his rightful place in our lives, and it disrupts our relationship with him. And the same thing happens when we do this with other people. When we put ourselves before other people with either selfish ambition or we're not caring, or as the Bible instructs us to, we're not preferring others, it leads to damage in our relationship. And at bottom, all of this is because of sin. And then finally, the last one for this morning at least, sin as a power that operates in our lives. Power that operates in our lives. So the Bible talks about it. Romans 6 says that we have been set free from the power of sin. So it's not only missing the mark and breaking trust and putting ourselves in the center of all things, it's also this power that works upon us and against us. And you can feel that power is working on us when we are about to do something or we're considering to do something and we know it's not going to bless God or others, and we end up doing it anyway. It's that power that works in us. And I think we could probably all remember times in our lives, maybe even this morning, where we felt the power of sin operating in us. And when we take all of these things and all of the ways that sin operates in our lives, the impact on us is that we can be left carrying a heavy burden. Many of us will resonate with a feeling of guilt and shame, feeling isolated or fearful, defensive and angry. And sin operates in such a way that we are left carrying a weight that is too much to bear. And I want to illustrate that for us this morning, and I need a volunteer. But be warned, you'll be carrying a heavy and ever-increasing burden for the whole service until I call you back. I'm really selling it, aren't I? Hands are jumping up. Okay, Jack, are you going to... Okay, Jack, come on. Up you come. You don't know what you've got yourself into, but that's part of the fun, really, isn't it? Right, over this side, Jack. Errol, I might need you, actually, mate. It's your... Errol's given me the backpack. We're going to put this on. We're going to put it on the front as well. Okay? Put it on the front. It's empty at the moment. I'm going to tighten this up so it doesn't fall off. Are you feeling strong, Jack?
Yes. Strong in my...
Strong in your faith. Good. I mean, strong in your body right now. So, okay. Imagine these bricks are like sin. It's not perfect. It's an analogy. You could tear it to pieces if you wanted to, but we're going to run with it. All right. These... Jack, do you want to sit down? Are you still good?
I'm good.
Okay. Okay, just hold that up. Right. Remember, I was talking about carrying a weight. I've got a bag inside of a bag so I don't make a mess of Errol's lovely... I think I've made a mess, Errol. Sorry, mate. The bag just dropped out of my hand. We're going to start with two. Errol, maybe I'll clean it afterwards. All right. Okay, put that down. Right, Jack, we're going to start with two, and I want you to wear it on your front. And what you have to do is you have to walk around the hall slowly. And each time you pass me, we're going to fill it up. And I'll call you when we're done. Off you go. Try and circumnavigate the whole outside. No, none of this sort of sneaky halfway through. I want a big loop, Jack. You see, often sin... No, mate, to the outside. Sin is often... We often think about it as doing bad things. I'll let you do your first loop without actually filling you up. Well done. But you see, Jesus goes deeper than just doing the wrong things. In Mark 7, verse 20, 23, he teaches that sin starts in the heart with attitudes like jealousy and pride and selfishness. So sin is inside of us. And it changes us, just, if you like a sickness, it can change us. And what's more, the Bible says that we are born sinful. And that's a very, very uncommon way of viewing humanity in our current day. See, many people will think that humanity starts out generally good, and through living in and experiencing the world, we get damaged over time. And as we get damaged, we damage others. But let me... It's a perfect time. Come on. No, this, I thought I would have picked up a few garden slugs, but I didn't. There you go. Well done. You're right, Jack? All right, good.
He said, I'm good through the such gritted teeth. Oh, I shouldn't laugh so much, should I? So let me try and bring this idea to life. Let's take this phone, okay? And let's imagine that it's brand new out of the box, this phone. And this is how some people experience the world, or imagine that we come into the world. It comes shiny, brand new, straight out of the box. And then as we start to live, this is a common understanding in our culture today. As we start to experience some suffering and pain, we start to get damaged. But we also experience wonder and beauty and love and celebration and joy. And so although life is hard, we think we can do it on our own. We can find a solution to living life well by ourselves. Jack, you keep going past, so I'm going to give you a free loop, all right? And as life continues to make its impact on us, the front screen of our lives starts to get damaged. It starts to crack a little bit. And we can still see it clearly and maybe see things through it clearly, but it's not as it was originally. It's not as it should have been. And I'm sure you've experienced a phone that's got a damaged front screen. It starts to do weird stuff, doesn't it? It starts to open apps that you never wanted it to open. It's calling grandma that you never wanted to speak to grandma right then. It's closing itself down unexpectedly or sending messages to random contacts without you doing anything. It's doing all sorts of things on its own. But in culture, oh, Jack, you're so lucky I've got a half brick for you, mate. There we go. But if it ever gets too bad that you can't see through it anymore and it's just not working, the cultural view is that we simply can get some expert help or DIY it and replace the front screen and you get a great front screen. You can even put the latest model cover on it and bam! You've reinvented yourself for another day. And that's how a lot of people approach life. Starts shiny out of the box, gets damaged, enjoys life. Well, it's okay, I can just replace the front screen, put a cover on it, and I'm a new person. But the Bible paints a very different picture of humanity. The Bible does not say we start good and get sinful, but rather, because of humanity's rebellion, you just keep walking, Jack. Because of humanity's rebellion from him in the beginning, we now all fall short of the glory of God. We come into the world under the curse of sin, and that means we are not as we should be from the beginning. Oh, I haven't given. David in Psalm 51 says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And you see, we could use the analogy of the phone once again. But as I said, many people think we come straight out of the box, brand spanking new. But in reality, it's more like this phone. It's a bit old. A little bit damaged. Yet even this phone doesn't. All right, Jack. I'm out of bricks, mate. So you just keep walking now. How you doing? You're
all right.
Yeah.
I was in maintenance. I've carried that real water bottle.
Good. But in actual fact, this phone doesn't really represent the impact of sin on our life. So I want to try and bring to life what it is. So I need another volunteer, a young person. Tom, come on. Safety goggles. Sophie's now thinking, is that my phone? Safety goggles on. Come and give it a bit of a tap.
Oh, just a little. Not a big one, a little one.
Don't start with a big one, because we'll see what happens. And again.
That's a big one, right?
One more. No, it's fine. Sean said I could expense it. You see, maybe this is more akin to how humanity is after the impact of sin. You can see immediately it's a phone. You might even still be able to... Thank you, Tom. Bless you, mate. You might still be able to make it function in some way, but it's not as it is intended to be. And because it's like this, it cannot do what it was meant to do. You see, every person is born in the image of God, and that is what gives every single person their dignity and value in this world. But now we are impacted by sin, and therefore we cannot live lives as God intended us to. We cannot, before Jesus, be in relationship with him, and we cannot, really importantly, DIY ourselves back to God. We are in his image, but we are broken and distorted. And as a result, our hearts are disordered right from the beginning. Not that you grow in disorder, in some ways you do, but right from the beginning, because of our rebellion from God in the beginning, we, rather than long for God and all that is good, we long for ourselves and often end up hurt and hurting others. It means that despite our best efforts, we cannot save ourselves because our hearts are disordered by sin. And so for a question to reflect on for a minute. What are the things in your heart that are pulling you away from being the person God created you to be? Maybe it's fear or anger or a desire to be controlled or many other things. But here's the amazing thing. God sees our heart and says, I want to heal you. You see, sin is bad news. It is devastating, but it is not the end of the story. The good news is that God doesn't leave us in our brokenness. His response is, and this is also really, really important, God's response is not a belief system or a set of rules to follow or an idea or a philosophical view. God's response to the brokenness of humanity is a person, Jesus Christ. Because God so loved the world, he sent his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
God sent Jesus to save us from our sins. We cannot save ourselves. We need Jesus, the Son of God, who became human, to enter into our lives and save us from sin and its destructive forces. We need to be saved and healed. And we cannot modify our behavior to such an extent that we escape the power of sin and the separation from God and others that it causes. We need a Savior, one who is like us but different, understands us and our lives, but is utterly unique in humanity as having lived a perfect life before God. And we need Jesus to come into our lives and forgive us and heal us and make us new. And this is what Jesus does. You see, healing starts with being forgiven, but it doesn't stop there. It's so much more. It's about being restored and transformed. And God wants us to work, wants to work in us so that we can live lives of joy and freedom and love. And so in this process of healing from sin, it starts with confession. Healing begins when we admit that we've fallen short. And 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us of all unrighteousness. Confession is not about shame or guilt. It's about freedom and love. So let's come back to Jack. Come, Jack, you can come straight to me. Jack and his backpack. He was sort of getting a bit towards the end, wasn't he? How's it feeling?
My legs, let's just say I don't get to train legs this week.
Bit heavy, bit uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's a burden that you've been carrying a lot of weight?
Yeah, a little bit.
You see, Jesus invites us to take the backpack off our shoulders and to place it on him. All that weight, the guilt and the shame that can build up and the isolation that it breeds. You see, the backpack also separates us from one another. It's hard to get close to Jack. And it separates Jack from God. But when we come to Jesus and confess our sins and confess our need of him, he takes the backpack off and puts it on himself. Thank you. Shall we give Jack a round of applause? Well done, mate. See, there is nothing that we can do to compel Jesus to save us. We cannot tidy up our lives to such a point that we become right before God or have some sort of claim on him to save us. You see, what happens is that as God draws us to Jesus by the Holy Spirit, we start to become more and more aware of the weight that we are carrying, that the burden it is upon us. We see how it's separating us from God and from others, and we start to begin to recognize our inability to remove the burden ourselves. And then step two, we then need to move to receiving his forgiveness. Through Jesus' death on the cross, God forgives every sin, past, present, and future. We can say that so easily, but to grasp it and understand it, I have no idea how to do that. The best I can come up with is that it is a mystery, that we can look at its beauty and wonder at it forever and ever without fully grasping it. We get given eternal life, and Jesus dies on the cross.
We're forgiven because God is loving and gracious and full of mercy. And my question to each one of us is, do we need to receive God's forgiveness today? Do you want to take the backpack off and hand it to Jesus? He's offering once again to do this for each of us. Open your heart this morning to God and His voice. In a few moments, we will have time to respond. And I implore you, come to Jesus. Confess your sins, your inability to heal yourself, and receive His love and mercy and grace and forgiveness this morning. See, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. He has come to save us and heal us from our sin. He's come to give us new life, become a new creation in Him. We get to start to live again as He designed us to be. It's not about going to the store and trying to DIY yourself. The Scripture, the Bible says that in Christ we are a new creation. All things are made new. It's a moment of a lifetime. And so this morning, let's be open to God and His activity in us. So we start with confession, then we come to receiving His forgiveness. In this journey of healing from sin, we also then are empowered by the Spirit. The good news continues to flow. God doesn't just forgive us, which is not a just, it's amazing. But He gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can live a different life. And Galatians 5 verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit and you will no longer gratify the desires of the flesh. You will live differently to how you were living before. And you see, part of the new creation is that we are given the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts and change us from there, from the inside. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us and He gives us power. And the Scripture also says that it's the same power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Can you just imagine that for a moment? That same power, that life-giving, dead-raising power lives inside of you and is given to you to live for God. Well, that's a picture of Pentecost. So I thought it was nice. And then finally, a call to wholeness. And as we close today, you see, we are called to a life in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit to become like Jesus, and as we do so, a life of wholeness. Sin creates brokenness, but God's love offers wholeness. He invites us to hand over what we've been carrying. The shame and the guilt. It's quite heavy, isn't it, Jack? The isolation, the anxiety, the worry. We hand that over to Him and step into a life of freedom. But let's be very clear-eyed and open-eyed when we go into this life. It is long and joyful. It is painful and the road to healing. It's not always easy, but Jesus said, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." God will use every season and every emotion and every circumstance to bring about your transformation into a person who is like Jesus. That is His promise to you. And perhaps we won't get there fully until we leave this world and enter the next. But that's in no way intended to sort of induce a shrug of the shoulders and a giving up. It's rather to invite us into a life where we position ourselves and open ourselves to the activity of the Holy Spirit so that in every circumstance, in every season, and in every way, God is intentionally working for our good, intentionally making us more like Jesus. You see, sin is real, and its effect is personal, communal, global, and profound. But the love of God is more powerful than any sin. Sin and death have been defeated on the cross. And he is ready to forgive and heal and restore. And he's here this morning to do so. And so particularly for our young people, if you felt weighed down by a guilt or a regret or a shame or a fear, know this, you don't have to carry it on your own. Jesus invites you to let him heal you of those broken places. And he is ready for each one of us, young or old, to take the backpack from us today and invites us all into a life of transformation and a journey to wholeness. And you don't have to be perfect to come to God. He takes us where we are and transforms us into who we were created to be. So, Lord, I thank you for every one of us here this morning. And I thank you for loving every one of us, even in our brokenness, even in our sin, as we raised fists to you. You loved us and sent Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and help us to see where we've turned away from you and lead us into healing and restoration. Renew our hearts and make us whole, I pray in Jesus' name. This here is a picture, the famous picture by an artist called William Holman Hunt, and it's called The Light of the World. And it depicts Jesus standing at a door. And it's actually the door of your life. And he's knocking on that door asking to be received. And I'd say he's knocking again this morning. So if the band can come up and they're going to lead us in worship. And maybe you're here and you need to confess your sins and receive Jesus for the very first time. You wouldn't identify as a follower of Jesus or a Christian. And yet the Spirit is working on you this morning and you're starting to see, you're hearing his voice call to you. Then you're very welcome. We're going to have some people at the back and I'd implore you to come and pray with them. They would love to pray with you to receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. But there also may be others in the room. And you already are a follower of Jesus. You know him. But you're feeling distant. You need to receive his forgiveness and grace afresh this morning and be filled with the power of the Spirit and let him into your life anew. Either way, whether it's for the first time or whether you are a seasoned follower of Jesus and you know you need to come and come before him and confess your sins and receive his forgiveness, grace, and mercy in the Spirit of God. There's going to be some people at the back, and I'd love you to come and pray with them. So if you're able, please stand. I'll pray. And we're going to have people at the back and feel free. Then in a moment, at the right time, Dave's going to come up and he'll lead us into communion.